A logo appears in bold, slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Margaret Sullivan and James Stewart in the Ernst Lubitsch production of The Shop Around the Corner. Copyright 1940, Lowe's Incorporated. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH, Boston. Described by Carol Hostutler. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Titles continue. Screenplay by Samson Raffleson, based on a play by Nicholas Laszlo. Musical score by Werner R. Heyman. Film editor, Gene Ruggiero. Cast, Margaret Sullivan as Clara Novak. James Stewart as Alfred Kralik. Frank Morgan as Hugo Maticek. Joseph Schildkraut as Ferenc Vadesh. Sarah Hayden as Flora. Felix Bressart as Pirovich. William Tracy as Pepe Katona. Inez Courtney as Ilona. Produced and directed by Ernst Lubitsch. Now an introduction appears. This is the story of Maticek and Company, of Mr. Maticek and the people who work for him. It is just around the corner from Andrássy Street, on Balta Street in Budapest, Hungary. Now, in a village square, bicyclists and pedestrians weave by horse-drawn wagons. A young man in a suit and cap pedals a three-wheeled delivery cart to a curb. He saunters over to a closed shop, where a mustached older man smokes a cigar and reads the paper.
Morning, Mr. Pirovich.
Good morning.
Always a first one, huh?
It's none of your business. And let me tell you, it doesn't hurt to be too early.
What for and why? Who sees you? Me. And who sees me? You. What does it get us? Can we give each other a raise? No.
What are you doing with that bicycle? You're not supposed to take that home. Better not let Mr. Maticek see it.
Why don't you tell him? It's all right with me. Do you know where I was last night while you were home soaking your feet in hot water? Running my legs off for Mrs. Maticek. Pepe, go to the dressmaker. And when I come back, oh, Peppy, will you please pick up a package at the drugstore?
A brunette woman walks up.
Good morning, Miss Katzer.
Good morning.
How's your little boy?
Much better, thanks. He called Dr. Hagedush.
Oh, he's a very expensive doctor.
Well, what can you do? I figured I'd cut down on my cigars for a few weeks.
Good morning.
A woman
morning.
With a fur stole.
Oh, that's a new silver fox. It's stunning.
Oh, thank you.
It must have been pretty expensive.
Oh, it was. I hesitated a long time before I bought it. I said, no, I can't afford it. And still, I couldn't take my eyes off it. And then I said, no, I have no right to.
And then he said, oh, go on and take it.
Oh, trying to be clever.
Now, a tall man.
Morning, Mr. Crowley.
Pepper, you go over to the drugstore and get me a bicarbonate of soda.
What's the matter, Crowley?
Don't you feel well?
Oh, it's all right.
A man in a boater hat struts over.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Want to hear a joke?
No.
What's the matter, folks? Not awake yet? Look at me. I bet I haven't slept half as much as you. Friends, Romans, countrymen. To tell you the truth, I had quite a time last night.
And we don't want to hear the poor girl's name.
Tell me, Kralik, how was the dinner last night?
Oh, yes, that's right. Mr. Kralik had dinner with the boss last night. Well, 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 how was it? Tell us all about it. Are you a partner now, Mr. Kralik?
Don't be funny.
Oh, boy, you're always joking.
All right, all right.
Tell us about
how was it?
Well, it was a very nice evening, and I enjoyed myself.
I bet the food was good.
Well, you can imagine.
Tell me, is it true Mrs. Maticek had her face lifted?
Well, how could I know that?
Well, how old did she look to you last night?
Well, 40.
She had her face lifted.
I think Mrs. Maticek is a very charming woman.
Who said she isn't?
And don't you try to make something out of nothing. I didn't say Mrs. Maticek is not charming.
But I said she is charming. What's wrong with that?
So, the food was good.
7 courses, not including the hors d'oeuvre.
I bet you were sitting next to Mrs. Maticek.
Yes, I was. What do you think of that?
Bet you were brilliant.
No, I just kept still and tried to learn something.
I see.
Here's your bicarbonate, Mr. Kralik.
Bicarbonate, aren't you?
No, I had a little too much goose liver last night.
See? What's the matter? Wasn't it any good?
Now, look here, Bodish. Now, just a minute, folks. Come over.
Did you hear what he said?
I want you to hear that. Did I make any derogatory remark about the goose liver?
No, no.
I merely said that I had too much goose liver. A little too much goose liver. Not one word more and not one word less.
No.
A cab pulls up to the curb. Pepe runs over, takes off his cap, and opens the rear door.
Good morning, Mr. Maticek.
Good morning.
A scowling, well-dressed older man gets out and walks up to the shop.
Good morning.
He takes out a key, then looks at the shop's front window and frowns. The others crowd around him.
Who put this 3250 suitcase in the window?
I did, Mr. Matuchenko.
Pirovich.
I guess it's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Matuchenko.
Yeah. Pepe.
Yes, Mr. Matuchenko.
Just go across the street to the drugstore and get me some bicarbonate of soda.
Yes, sir. Allow me, Mr. Matuchenko.
Vadesh raises an ornate security grate.
Here we are, Mr. Matuchenko.
Matuchenko unlocks the door and they enter the shop. Later in the showroom, one woman dusts a curving bench sofa built into a central display case. Pirovich carries a tower of glove boxes into the stockroom, where Kralik stands by shelves of luggage reading.
Pirovich.
Hmm?
Want to hear something nice?
Yes, what is it?
A letter from a girl.
Oh.
Kralik gives a slight smile.
My heart was trembling as I walked into the post office, and there you were lying in box 237. I took you out of your envelope and read you. Read you right there. Oh, my dear friend.
What is all this?
You see, I wanted to buy an encyclopedia.
Encyclopedia? What are you talking about?
Well, you come to a time in your life when you get tired of going to cafe and dance halls every night. You want to improve yourself. Now, for instance, you want to study something about art and literature and history. Oh. How people live in Brazil.
But tell me, what has all this to do with the letter?
Well, you know I can't afford a new encyclopedia. So I was looking through the ads in the Sunday paper, and I got on the wrong page, and I came across this ad. And it... Wait a minute. I have it right here.
He hands a clipping from his wallet to Pirovich.
Modern girl wishes to correspond on cultural subjects anonymously with intelligent, sympathetic young men. Address, dear friend, post office 15, box 237. I know those ads. Papers are full of them. How long has it been going on?
Well, we've exchanged four letters.
Four letters?
That she's no ordinary girl, either. Now, listen to this.
The dog-eared letter.
Are you tall? Are you short? Are your eyes blue? Are they brown? Don't tell me. Mm-hmm. What does it matter so long as our minds meet?
That's beautiful.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute.
Another page.
We have enough troubles in our daily lives. Mm. There are so many great and beautiful things to discuss in this world of ours. It would be wasting these precious moments if we told each other the vulgar details of how we earn our daily bread. Mm-hmm. So don't let's do it.
Mr. Kralik?
Yes, Mr. Matuchenko.
He stuffs the letter in his pocket and hurries into the showroom.
Yes, Mr. Matuchenko.
I can buy 24 of these cigarette boxes at Miklos Brothers. What do you think of it? I think it's great. Well, open it.
No, Mr. Matuchenko, it's not for us.
But you haven't listened to it. It plays Orgy Chornia.
Well, even if it played Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, I'd still say no. No, I just don't like the idea.
It's wonderful the way you can make up your mind so quickly. I've been in this business for 35 years. It took me a whole hour to decide that I like this box. But, of course, you're a genius. You know so much more than I. Mr. Vardash?
Coming, Mr. Matuchenko.
Miss Novotny?
Yes, Mr. Matuchenko.
Look here, what do you think of this? Now, I want your honest opinion. Don't let me influence you. All I want is your honest opinion.
Pirovich hides in the stockroom. The smiling Matuchenko arches an eyebrow at Kralik's faint grimace.
Well, Miss Novotny?
Well, I think people who smoke cigarettes and love to hear Ochichonya will like it.
I'd even go further. I think it'll make music lovers out of cigarette smokers and cigarette smokers out of music lovers. I think it's sensational.
Yeah, well, Mr. Kralik, have you thought it over?
Yes. I still think it's inadvisable.
Well, give me one reason.
Well, let's say that a man smokes 20 cigarettes a day. That means that 20 times a day he has to open this box and 20 times a day he has to listen to Ochichonya. It's a perfectly terrible idea. And besides, it's imitation leather. The glue's no good. In 2 weeks, the whole thing will fall apart and all you'll have left is Ochichonya.
You don't have to tell me that it's imitation leather. I know that. You just sell things and let me do the buying. Huh?
Excuse me, Mr. Matuchenko. Yes. Miklos Brothers on the telephone in reference to the cigarette box.
Oh, Miklos, yes. Yes, Mr. Miklos? Can I call you back in about 5 minutes? I'd like a little more time to think about it. No. It's not the price. It's just that I'm not quite sure about the whole idea. Yes, Mr. Miklos. What?
You can't expect me to make up my mind in 5 minutes! Well, if that's the case, then I'll have to say no. I'm sorry.
The employees busy themselves as Matichek struts to his office, pausing to scowl at the back of Kralik's head. A young woman with curly blonde hair enters the shop, then stands timidly at the handbag display where Kralik greets her.
Good morning, madam.
Good morning.
It's a lovely bag, don't you think?
Yes,
very. This is one of our imported models. We have it in pigskin, alligator, to several different colors, with or without fitted accessories, eh?
I really didn't come in to buy a bag.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Well, what can I show you?
To tell you the truth, I really didn't come in to buy anything.
That's perfectly all right. Now, if you wish to look around, just make yourself at home.
Yes, thank you.
Rubbing her hand, she glances past him.
I wonder if I could see Mr. Matichek.
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Matichek is quite busy at the moment. Of course, I could call him if you wanted.
Oh, yes, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
But if you'll tell me your wishes, it's quite possible I could take care of them to your satisfaction.
Well, I noticed in your shop window that you're having a summer sale.
Oh, yes, madam. Everything in the shop is marked down 25%. Some articles even more. Well, we have... I'll take, for instance, this compact. Yesterday, you couldn't get it for a penny less than $3.90. Today, we're selling for $2.25.
Really? Yeah. Yes, that's a wonderful bargain.
Yeah, well, everything in the shop is a bargain today.
Yes, I imagine you'll be doing a big business.
Well, I have no doubt of it. You were very wise to come early. We'll probably have such a rush, we won't be able to take care of the customers.
Well, in that case, maybe you should take on some extra help.
Oh, we probably will, yeah.
Maybe you could use me. I'm looking for a job.
Kralik looks away, then frowns slightly.
You know, that wasn't very nice. Letting me go through the whole routine.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I really didn't mean to. Do you think you could help me to get a job here?
Well, I'd like to, but there's no opening.
But you just told me you'd need some extra people because of the rush.
Well, look around for yourself. You can see what kind of business we're doing.
At the door.
I beg your pardon.
Yes, madam.
How much is that belt in the window? The one that says $2.95.
$2.95.
Oh, no.
She leaves, and the young woman rushes back to Kralik.
Excuse me, but may I tell you my qualifications?
Look, if I could do anything for you, I'd do it.
You know, I'm not an inexperienced girl.
Yes, but I know the situation here, and there's no chance.
I worked for 2 years at Blasher Company, and I left of my own accord. And before that, I was with Lasco Brothers for 10 months.
My dear child, even if you'd worked at Mintz and Cromery...
I did! I know how to take care of the finest clientele.
Well, we don't deal with that class of people here. We just have middle class
trade. Middle class? What kind of trade do you think Blasher Company has? And they'd take me back right this minute.
Why don't you go back?
Well, that's another story.
Look, if it was up to me, I'd put you to work right away, but I'm not the boss.
Well, why don't you let me see him?
Well, sort of a bad mood today.
Oh, I'll take a chance. Maybe I can cheer him up.
My dear young lady, I've been here for 9 years, and I know Mr. Matichek inside out. I can predict his every reaction. I can tell you word for word exactly what he'd say.
Mr. Kralik.
Matichek.
I beg your pardon. Just one moment, please.
Sorry.
So, you know every reaction of mine, huh? You know me inside out. You know what I think even before I thought of it. You're not only a genius, you're a mind reader.
Oh, Mr. Matichek.
Never mind. Good morning, madame. I am Mr. Matichek.
Good morning, Mr. Matichek.
Here, please. Sit down.
He moves a chair for her.
I don't know what the difficulty is, but I can assure you, madame, that the word impossible is not in the vocabulary of Matichek and Company.
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
Yes, and I mean it.
Mr. Matichek.
Yes, madame.
I was at Blasik and Company.
Oh, madam, I'm sure you'll find much nicer things in my shop.
Oh, no, I mean, I work there.
Oh.
I'm looking for a job.
Oh, no, that's impossible. It's out of the question. Mr. No, I have no time. I'm very busy.
She stares after him.
I'm very sorry. I'm afraid you're just wasting your time.
But I've got to have a job.
Mr. Kralik?
Just a moment, Mr. Matichek. Did you try Bond's department store?
Every entrance.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe after inventory...
When will that be?
Well, a week or so.
Kralik!
Just a minute, Mr. Matichek.
Please, may I leave my address?
Oh, yes. We need anybody. You'll be the first one.
My name is Clara Novart, Tuna Street 42. And if you need me in a hurry, you can phone 246422. That's the grocery store downstairs. Ask for Johanna and tell you have a business message for Clara.
He makes a note, right. Then goes to the office.
Yes, Mr. Matichek.
Close the door.
Matichek stands by a formal arched window.
Kralik, why did you put me in that situation in front of the whole shop?
Well, I'm very sorry, sir, but it was not my fault.
Well, whose fault was it, mine?
Well, yes.
What's the matter with you, Kralik? You're my oldest employee. I do everything I can to show my appreciation. I ask you to my house.
Well, I'm very grateful, sir.
Well, you have a funny way of showing it. You know how much I value your judgment, and on every occasion you contradict me. Whatever I say, you say no.
All right, sir. From now on, I say yes. Yes, Mr. Matichek. Yes, Mr. Matichek. Certainly, Mr. Matichek. Certainly, yes, Mr. Matichek.
That was a nice party last night, huh?
Yes, Mr. Bunch.
Yes, I had a lot of fun, didn't you?
Yes.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself so much. That little poem that you wrote in Mrs. Matuszek's guest book, you make that up yourself?
Well, sort of half and half.
Half and half? How do you mean?
Half Shakespeare and half me.
Oh.
See, I just changed the lines around to suit the occasion. Made that last line rhyme with Matuszek.
Oh, well, Mrs. Matuszek liked it very much.
Oh, thank you.
You made a fine impression on her.
Well.
Yes, Mrs. Matuszek thinks a lot of you. And, you know, I think a lot of Mrs. Matuszek.
Bodish hurries in.
Mr. Matuszek?
Yes?
I think I found a customer for the cigarette box.
Uh-huh.
What price shall I quote?
Well, let me see now. It costs us $2.85, and I think we get 5%.
Clara examines the cigarette box.
Let me take care of this, Mr. Matuszek.
Yeah.
Now, look, there's no use waiting now, believe me. If there's an opening, you'll be the first one.
Just a moment. Tell me, would you buy a box like this?
Oh, Mr. Matuszek, I couldn't buy anything at the moment.
No. I want your opinion, your honest opinion. Now, don't let me influence you.
Pirovich runs upstairs.
Do you like this box?
Oh, yes, I do. I think it's lovely.
Yeah. Why?
Why? Yeah. I think it's romantic.
What's romantic about it?
Well, cigarettes and music. I don't know. It makes me think of moonlight and cigarettes and music.
There's a woman's point of view.
Yes, Mr. Matuszek.
Mr. Matuszek.
Yes, Miss...
Novak. How much are you selling it for?
Well, $4.25.
$4.25?
Yeah, $4.25.
That's a bargain. That's a real bargain.
A heavy woman looks up. Matuszek nods. Clara takes off her hat and walks over.
Good morning, madame. It's a lovely box, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's a candy box, isn't it?
Well, we...
Yes, madame, a candy box. And I should say a very unusual one. May I open it for you?
Oh, yes, madame, that's Ochichornia. It's a very popular classic.
Oh, no, that would never do. Where do people get ideas like that? Can you imagine? Every time you take a piece of candy, you have to listen to that song? No, I couldn't buy a thing like that. It's really too silly.
Crawley grins.
I know just what you mean, madame. And yet, do you know that some of our customers like you for the very thing you object to? We sold quite a few, especially to ladies.
Really?
Yes, madame. There's no denying that we all have a weakness for candy. And when I say weakness, I don't mean to say anything against candy. Oh, no, I only mean that sometimes we are inclined to overdo it a little.
I suppose so.
Now, for instance, madame, have you any idea how many pieces of candy you eat a day?
No, I never gave it a thought.
That's just it. We pick up a piece of candy absent-mindedly, then we take another piece. Before we know it, we've gained a couple of pounds. That's when our troubles begin. Massages, electric cabinets.
Oh, don't I know it.
Now, this little box makes you candy conscious. That's what Matuszek & Company designed it for. Every time you open it, this tinkling little song is a message to you. Too much candy. Now be careful.
Clara watches her closely.
How much is it?
$5.50. Reduced from $6.95. It's a
real... Matuszek's eyes widen.
I'll take it.
Thank you, madam.
Well, what do you say now?
I think people who like to smoke candy and listen to cigarettes will love it.
Kralik peeks up at Matuszek, who stops smiling.
No, don't let me influence you. I want your opinion, your honest opinion.
Pirovich starts down the stairs, then turns back. Now, on the snow-covered sidewalk in front of the closed shop, Pirovich stands reading a newspaper. A policeman doffs his cap.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
A sign reads, Special Clearance Sale, Ochichornia Cigarette Boxes, reduced from $5.50 to $2.29. Kralik walks up, reading a paper.
Morning.
Good morning, Kralik.
Well, I got a big dinner date tonight.
With the boss?
Oh, no, he never invites me anymore. How do you figure him out, anyway?
I give up. It's certainly very difficult to get along with him these days.
Yeah, he never talks to me anymore, either. Well, I hope he's feeling more cheerful today. Better, because I'm going to ask him for a raise.
A raise?
Mm-hmm. Pirovich, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
No, go ahead.
It's very confidential.
Yes, sure.
Well, I suppose a fellow like me wants to get married.
Well, that's wonderful. That's the best thing that could happen to you. Who's a girl?
Now, wait a minute. What did I say? I said suppose. I said a fellow like me. I didn't say me. Oh. Now, look. Now, how much did it cost you to live? You and Mrs. Pirovich, leaving out the children.
Well, why fool yourself?
Well, let's say temporarily. How much it cost?
Well, it can be done.
Yeah?
Yes. And very nicely. Naturally, you can't be extravagant.
Well, suppose a fellow gets an apartment with three rooms, dining room, bedroom, living room.
Three rooms? What do you need three rooms for? You live in the bedroom.
Where do you eat?
In the kitchen. You get a nice big kitchen.
Well, where do you entertain?
Entertain? What are you, an ambassador? Who do you want to entertain? Listen, if someone is really your friend, he comes after dinner.
Oh, no.
Clara walks up holding a book.
Good morning,
Miss.
How's your wife, Mr. Pirovich?
Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
I forgot to call Dr. Hager.
Was something serious, your wife?
No, she couldn't be better.
Well, what do you want to call the doctor for?
If I don't call him, he'll come. Excuse me, I better telephone him right away. I hope it isn't too late.
Clara reads her book. Frolic scans his paper, then looks out from under the brim of his cocked hat.
Miss Novak.
Yes, Mr. Kralik?
I noticed that you wore a yellow blouse with light green dots yesterday.
No, Mr. Kralik. As usual, you're mistaken. It was a green blouse with light yellow dots. And everybody else thought it very becoming. And I don't remember ever remarking about your neckties. And believe me, Mr. Kralik, if you think I couldn't say anything about your neckties, just ask Mr. Varish. So please leave my blouse alone. It's none of your business.
Well, I'm sorry. Mr. Matuszek seems to think it is my business.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm working under you. Well, from now on, I'll telephone you every morning to describe exactly what I'm going to wear. And before I select my next season's wardrobe, my dressmaker will submit samples to you. Imagine you dictating what I should wear.
Well, for heaven's sake, I don't care what you wear. If you want to look like a pony in the circus, it's all right. But I have troubles of my own without your blouse coming between Mr. Matuszek and me.
Listen, I sold as much goods yesterday as anybody else in the shop. 95 Tango 50 isn't bad for a rainy Monday 3 weeks before Christmas. Did you tell that to Mr. Matuszek?
Yes, I did.
And what did he say?
He said, tell him not to come in that blouse anymore.
Tell him I won't.
I will.
She picks up her book. He strides off.
Good morning.
Well, I caught him just in time. Saves me 5 penge, and that counts when you're married.
The tie's all right to wear to work, isn't it?
Oh, quite all right. Come on, tell me, who is the girl?
Oh, well, you know that girl I was corresponding with?
Oh, yes, about the cultural subjects.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, after a while, we got on the subject of love. Naturally, on a very cultural level.
Well, what else can you do in a letter?
She is the most wonderful girl in the world.
Is she pretty?
She has such ideals and such a viewpoint on things that she's so far above all the girls you meet today, there's just no comparison.
So she's not so very pretty.
Oh, well, don't say that.
I'm sorry. Main thing is that you like her.
Hope I will.
What do you mean? You love a girl and you don't know if you like her?
Well, it's just the question. Haven't met her yet.
What? You haven't met her yet?
No. I keep postponing it and postponing it. I'm scared. You see, this girl thinks I'm the most wonderful person in the world, and after all, the chance she might be disappointed.
Yes, there's a chance.
Yeah, on the other hand...
Now, you might be disappointed, too.
Don't dare think about it. Pirovich, did you ever get a bonus?
Yes, once.
Yeah. You know, the boss hands you the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder how much is in it. You don't want to open it. As long as the envelope's closed, you're a millionaire.
Oh,
yeah. You keep postponing that moment, and you can't postpone it forever. Yeah. I'm meeting her tonight, 8:30 in a cafe.
For that carnation?
Yeah. She's using one for a bookmark and a copy of Tolstoy's Anna Karenina. I'm wearing one on my lapel. Haven't slept for days.
I'm sure she'll be beautiful.
Well, not too beautiful. No. What chance is a fellow like me?
What do you want? A homely girl?
No. Now, you knock on wood for me. Just a lovely, average girl. That's all I want.
A cab arrives. Pirovich trots over, takes off his hat, and opens the door. It's Vadesh.
Thank you, my good man. Morning, everybody.
Pirovich watches Vadesh slip through a wad of money.
Yeah, my good fellow. Keep the change. Send your boy through college.
Thank you, sir.
Well? I can see by the expression on your underpaid faces that you wonder where I got all this money.
No, Mr. Vadesh, I don't wonder.
What do you mean?
I don't wonder.
Vadesh wears a fur-collared jacket and suede gloves. A second cab pulls up. Pepe cuts off Pirovich, removes his cap, and opens the door.
Good morning.
Matuszek frowns at the shop window.
This window looks terrible.
There isn't a shop on the street that doesn't look better than this. It's a wonder we get any customers. Well, we'll stay tonight after closing hours and redecorate.
I'll have to get out of it some way.
Oh, Clary, you haven't got a chance.
I have a very important engagement tonight at 8:30. And I have to go home first. You see, I've got to change. Alona, tell me, did you notice the blouse I wore yesterday, the green one?
With a light yellow dot?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was simply stunning.
Did you really? Oh, I'm so glad. You see, I'm planning to wear it tonight.
In his office, Matichek answers the phone.
Hello? Oh. Yeah, hello, darling. Well, you were sleeping and I didn't want to disturb you. You came home late last night. I thought perhaps you'd like to sleep a little longer. No, no, I'm not angry. Did you have a good time? Well, that's all that matters, isn't it? What? 1,000 penga. But, Emma, I don't understand it. Only last Monday I gave you... No, 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 I'm not complaining. It's quite a bit of money. Yeah, well, all right. I'll send it over as soon as possible. Yeah, goodbye.
Frowning and distracted, he fingers his lorgnette.
Come in.
Kralik enters, tall and thin, in a double-breasted suit.
What is it?
Mr. Matichek, I'd like to talk to you for a moment.
Well, is it important?
Well, it's important to me.
Is it important to Matichek and company?
Not exactly, sir.
Well, then I'm sorry, I'm busy. You'll have to see me later.
He turns his back and walks to his desk, reading. Kralik gathers a breath, smooths his suit jacket, and follows.
Pardon me, sir.
Well, what is it now?
Well, sir, for several days, your attitude toward me seems to have changed.
Oh, has it?
Yes, Mr. Matichek, it has. Really, I'm completely at a loss to understand it. After all, I do my work.
And you get paid for it?
Yes, sir.
Every month?
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, everything seems to be all right then, doesn't it?
Yes, Mr. Matichek.
Matichek continues reading. Kralik bows slightly and leaves. Pirovich looks up from polishing silver.
Did you see him?
I'm not going to stand for this much longer. What does that man want of me, anyway? Why does he always have to pick on me?
Well, you are his oldest employee.
Well, that's a fine reason.
He picks on me, too. The other day, he called me an idiot. What could I do? I said, yes, Mr. Matichek, I'm an idiot. I'm no fool. Listen, maybe he has business-wise. Or maybe he has some trouble with his wife.
Vadesh.
Is that true, Pirovich? Is he... Any trouble with his wife? I don't know. It's none of my business. But I'm talking to Kralik. What do you want? I don't know anything. Leave me alone, please.
Kralik, don't be impulsive. Not at a time like this. Not when millions of people are out of work.
I'll get a job anywhere.
Can you? Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll take a chance. I'm no coward, you know. I'm not afraid.
I am. I have a family.
Well, I haven't.
Think it over. Those were nice letters, weren't they?
Pirovich smiles softly. Frowning, Kralik stuffs a pencil in his pocket and takes a pile of wallet boxes into the stockroom where Clara and Pepe are working.
This one's already been paid for. Just leave it there at the desk.
Mr. Kralik, you think I have to work tonight, too? After all, I'm a child.
No, you don't have to stay.
You mean it?
Yeah, I'll straighten it out with Mr. Matichek.
Thanks, Mr. Kralik.
Pepe bustles out with packages. Clara brightens, follows Kralik to a tall shelf, and climbs a stepladder next to his.
May I help you, Mr. Kralik?
No, thank you.
Oh, no trouble at all. I put all the imported bags over there on the shelf.
All right.
Is that the way you wanted it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. I'd appreciate it if you'd tell me if there's anything wrong.
When have you become so interested in my idea of what's wrong?
Well, I want to please you, Mr. Kralik. After all, I'm working under you.
And you don't have to keep harping on that.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way at all, Mr. Kralik. Regardless of what I think of you personally, I believe that anybody who works with you and doesn't get a great deal out of it is just plain dumb.
She hands him boxes to shelves.
Just what do you mean, what you think of me personally?
Oh, well, I mean, since you ask, no matter what anybody else says against you, I think you're a gentleman.
Well, I try to be.
And, oh, Mr. Kralik, you have no idea what that means to a working girl. What a girl goes through in some shops. Now, take, for instance, when I was with Feldish Brothers and Sons. Well, the sons were all right, but the brothers, Mr. Kralik... And that's why I like it here so much. When you say, Miss Novak, let's go into the stockroom and put some bags on the shelf. Well, you really want to put some bags on the shelf. And that's my idea of a gentleman.
Well, I just don't believe in mixing bags with pleasure.
His stern face softens.
Mr. Kralik.
Yes, Miss Novak.
About that blouse.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I had to.
But I want to thank you. I'm so glad you did it. You know, in the bottom of my heart, after thinking it all over, you're so right. That blouse was awful.
Oh, no, not awful.
Yes,
no,
it was. Of course, I wouldn't admit it at the time, but what woman would? We hate to admit we were wrong. That's why we're so feminine.
Oh, well. Now, this is the first time you've shown a little sense. Quite a change in you, Miss Novak.
I know it, Mr. Kralik.
Now, you just keep this up, and I think we'll be able to get along much better.
Thank you, Mr. Kralik.
Quite all right, Miss Novak.
He climbs down.
You know, I was planning to wear that awful blouse tonight. I have a date with...
Tonight? Well, didn't you hear what Mr. Matacek says? We have to stay here and decorate the windows.
Oh, I almost forgot.
Yes.
She climbs down and goes to him, smiling.
Would it be possible? Do you think you could spare me tonight? And then maybe Mr. Matacek would let me off.
Well, so that's why I'm a gentleman. That's why you've learned so much from me all of a sudden.
I don't understand, Mr. Kralik.
You want to get the night off?
I have to, Mr. Kralik.
Well, you're out of luck. Oh, that was such an obvious trick. I almost fell for
it,
too.
Please, Mr. Kralik, I have to get off tonight. It's terribly important.
You know, for the last 6 months, you've done everything you could to antagonize me, and now you have nerve enough...
You haven't been very nice to me either. No matter what I do, it's wrong. If I wrap a package, that's not the right way. If I make a suggestion, and some of them are very good, you don't even listen. Everything has to be done just exactly your way, and then you don't like it. When I first came into the shop, I was full of life and enthusiasm. And now I'm nothing. You've taken my personality away. You're a dictator, that's what you are. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Kralik, any day now, I may be in a position where I don't have to work anymore. And then, Mr. Kralik, I'll really tell you what I think of you. And as for that blouse, I think it's beautiful, and I'm going to wear it tonight. Mr. Kralik, I don't like you.
She rushes ahead of him into the showroom.
Mr. Matacek, may I speak to you for a moment?
Well, what is it?
Would it be possible, by any chance, do you think you could spare me tonight?
Well, let me see. We need three people to dress the A window. Mr. Kralik.
Yes, Mr. Matacek.
Can you get along without Miss Novak tonight?
Mr. Matacek, I'd like to talk to you for a moment.
Oh, you want to go too?
Well, yes, sir. I'd appreciate it very much if...
What is this? Does everybody want to leave here? Is this the interest you show in my shop? Once a year, I ask you to stay here.
I'm sorry, sir. If I'd only known yesterday.
Oh, I see. You want a special invitation. Well, next time I'll send you an engraved announcement.
Mr. Matacek.
Yeah?
I have talked everything over with Mr. Kralik. I know his ideas, and I think Miss Novotny and I can manage the novelty window by ourselves.
Did I ask you for your advice? What do you mean, Mr. Kralik, and you talk things over? Whose shop is this?
Yes, Mr. Matacek.
So, you want the evening off, Mr. Kralik. Well, that's all right. I think we can manage without you.
Mr. Matacek, this is the first time in years I've asked a favor. If it weren't so very important...
I've given you your evening. What more do you want? You want a brass band to see you off?
Mr. Matacek, I think you're being unjust.
I'm being unjust. Once a year, I ask six ladies and gentlemen, six, mind you, when next door, a shop twice as big as mine, employs only four. Good morning, madame. Is there something I can show you?
Have you any traveling bags for men with a zipper?
Oh, yes, madame. We have all types of traveling bags for men with zippers.
Thank you very much. I'm just doing a little window shopping for my husband. He'll be here tomorrow.
Well, I'll be delighted to serve him, madame.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, madame.
He ushers her out, then turns with a sneer.
Six ladies and gentlemen who stand around here for days telling jokes and talking about the movies while I pay the gas and the rent and the light and the taxes and their salaries. Good morning, Matacek and Company. What? Just a moment. Mr. Pirovich.
He turns quickly from a shelf of leather grooming kits and rushes to the phone.
Yes? Mama, I called you. Imagine, Mama, we are decorating the window after closing hour, so we won't have to have dinner with the Laszlo. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, I knew you'd be glad. Goodbye, Mama.
Matacek stares straight ahead, tight-lipped.
Six people, I ask, one day a year, to be so kind as to redecorate a window. And you have the nerve, Mr. Kralik, the oldest employee in the place who should set an example.
Mr. Matacek, you spoke like this to me yesterday. What did I do yesterday? The whole week you've treated me like this, and without any reason.
Without any reason. Maybe I have more reason than you think.
Well, it's obvious that you're not satisfied with me.
You can draw your own conclusions.
Well, in that case, I think there's just one thing to do. Perhaps we'd better call it a day.
Matacek shifts his eyes.
Matacek and Company, good morning. Oh, yes, Mrs. Matacek, he's here. Mrs. Matacek on the telephone.
Hello, Emma. No, I'm not coming home tonight. Oh, all right. Yes, all right. I'll send it right over. Just put 1,000 pengo in an envelope and have Peppy take it over to Mrs. Matacek right away.
Peppy is out. He has quite a few packages to deliver, and he won't be back until after lunch.
Mr. Kralik and I always have lunch at Fargo's. It's only a few blocks from your home, Mr. Matuchek. We can deliver it. Isn't it right, Mr. Kralik?
Yes.
No, thank you, Mr. Kralik.
He looks across the shop.
Oh, Mr. Vardash.
Yes, Mr. Matuchek.
I don't like to break in on your lunch hour.
That's perfectly all right. It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you.
Not at all.
He walks past a stone-faced Kralik and into his office. Evening. Men in heavy coats walk by the shop on a snow-packed sidewalk as Pirovich lowers the white balloon drapes. On the other side of the scallop drapery, Kralik and Clara stand on the window display platform by a Christmas tree. Frowning, they add glass balls and a string of bells. Below them, Matuchek paces the showroom floor, rolling a cigar in his hand.
Mr. Kralik, will you come to my office? I'd like to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Kralik climbs off the platform and passes by Flora and Pirovich with a smile. They pat his shoulder as he straightens his tie. He strides into the office confidently. Matuchek smokes a cigar.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mr. Kralik, I've been thinking all day about what you said this morning.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Mr. Matuchek. I'm afraid I lost my temper.
Oh, no. I think you were right. I really believe that you'd be happier somewhere else.
Matuchek lowers his eyes. Kralik freezes. His eyes roam over Matuchek's face.
Well, you think so, sir?
Yes, I'm sure of it.
Kralik steadies himself on the desk. Matuchek rolls his cigar between his fingers.
Well, I guess there's nothing more to be said.
Well, let me see. You're naturally entitled to a month's pay. That's 200 penger. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Will you please sign this receipt?
Kralik takes his money and signs a paper.
And here's a letter which certainly won't handicap you in seeking employment.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I guess we might just as well say goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Matuchek.
Goodbye.
They shake hands. Kralik walks slowly to the door, then continues into the showroom, his face drawn in a dazed stare. Pirovich smiles at him.
Well?
Kralik wanders, trance-like. Pirovich frowns and glances at Ilona. Clara looks up from hanging a string of glass beads. Flora clasps her hands.
What happened?
Kralik gives Pirovich a wan smile, then opens Matuchek's letter.
To whom it may concern, I wish to state that Mr. Alfred Kralik leaves my employ of his own accord. Mr. Kralik started with Matuchek and Company 9 years ago as an apprentice. Through his diligence, he advanced to the position of clerk. For the last 5 years, he has been our first salesman. We have found him reliable, efficient, resourceful. We can recommend him without reserve. He carries with him our best wishes for success in his future career. Hugo Matuchek.
He smiles sadly and walks across the silent showroom into the employee lounge. As he opens his wooden locker, he stops at the sight of a red carnation on the top shelf in a glass of water. Pirovich hurries in.
Kralik, I still can't believe it. There's no reason.
Listen, the boss doesn't have to give you a reason. That's one of the wonderful things about being boss.
He squeezes the carnation, well, then drops it.
I wanted to get off tonight. Won't get off, all right.
Kralik, you are not going?
No, I couldn't face her tonight. You see, this morning I had a position, a future. No. See, I'm afraid I sort of exaggerated my letters. I showed off a little. She's expecting to meet a pretty important man. Well, I'm in no mood to act important tonight.
He walks into the shop with Pirovich close behind, then slows down to face his somber friends. Vadesh stares at the floor.
Wow. Oh, I...
Kralik fishes a leather notebook out of his pocket and puts it on a display case draped with a cloth. On the notebook's leather cover, formal lettering reads, Matacek and Company. He adds two pencils from his breast pocket, then from his side pocket, a small brass key. Vadesh steps forward.
My dear Kralik, I think I speak for all of us when I say this is a shock and a surprise. We all feel we are losing a splendid fellow worker, and we certainly wish you the luck which you so rightfully deserve.
They shake hands. Pirovich steps forward.
Now, Kralik, we are going to see each other.
Sure.
If you have an evening with nothing to do, you know where we live.
All right, Pirovich. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Kralik.
They shake. Kralik turns to Ilona.
Well, Ilona, I'm going to miss you.
Well, I don't understand.
Oh, it's nothing unusual. It happens every day. Somebody gets fired. Goodbye, Ilona.
Goodbye, Mr. Kralik.
Flora? Oh, Flora, you'll notice when you look through my sales book, I've canceled slip number 5, but I deducted it from the total, so... Goodbye.
They shake hands. Flora swallows, then covers her face. Kralik takes a look around on his way to the door, then stops at Clara.
Miss Novak, if I had anything to do with your not getting the evening off, I'm sorry.
If it's my fault anyway that you got into this trouble, please believe me, I'm sorry, too.
That's all right.
It's true we didn't get along.
No.
I guess we fought a lot. But losing a job at a time like this is something you don't wish.
On your worst enemy. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say that, Mr. Kralik.
Well, let's not quarrel anymore. Huh? Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Kralik.
Without looking back, he goes out the shop door, leaving his friends in stunned silence. Now in Maracek's office.
Yes? Well? Oh, you have. Well, how soon can you come over here? Well, come right away. I'll be waiting here.
He rushes from the phone into the shop where everyone has returned to their decorating.
You may all go home. We'll finish the windows tomorrow.
Clara steps down from the window platform and dashes to the employee lounge. She opens her locker, throws off her sweater, and puts on a fur jacket. She pulls a felt hat over her blonde curls, then grabs her handbag, gloves, and a hardcover book. Without closing her locker, she sweeps past the others on their way in.
Good night.
Holding her hat, she runs through the shop and out into the night. Now, Pirovich comes out of the employee lounge, buttoning his overcoat, and trots over to the phone. His shoulders are stooped, and his eyes, behind small round glasses, are pinched with worry.
Hello? Is it Mrs. Hoyash? This is Mr. Pirovich, Mr. Kralik's friend. Yes, I know he isn't there yet. Will you please tell him when he comes that we are not working tonight and I'm coming over? Yes, thank you.
Seeing Matacek, he stops short and takes off his fedora.
I hope you don't mind, Mr. Matacek. He probably feels pretty low tonight, and I thought...
You don't have to explain. What you do after working hours is your own business.
Thank you, sir. You haven't changed your mind by any chance, Mr. Matacek.
You've got the evening off, haven't you? Well, go home.
He's the best man you had, Mr. Matacek. Why did you let him go?
I warn you, Mr. Pirovich.
His whole life he lived in this shop. He was almost like a son to you. And you were so proud of him. You invited him to your home again and again.
Mr. Pirovich, you want to keep your job, don't you?
Yes, Mr. Matacek. I have a family. 2 children.
In that case, mind your own business and go home.
Yes, Mr. Matacek.
Shoulders drooping, Pirovich walks past a table of stacked cigarette boxes and leaves.
Good night, Mr. Matacek.
Good night, Mr. Matacek.
Good night.
Now Vadesh comes out, bundled in a smart wool jacket and neck scarf.
Good night, Mr. Matacek.
Good night, Vadesh.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Matacek. I'm
I'm not quite certain if I delivered Mrs. Matuchek's message. She told me when I gave her the 1,000 penge to remind you to call her in case you change your mind and don't work tonight.
Yes, you told me about it, Jack.
You know, Mr. Matuchek, the last time I had the pleasure to be at your apartment was several months ago when you sent me after your briefcase, you remember? Mm. Today I had a chance to get a glimpse of your new dining room set. Oh, it's exquisite, really. I can imagine what it'll look like with all the lights on at a dinner party. Must be simply stunning.
Thank you, Varash.
Good night, Mr. Matuchek.
Good night, Varash.
Good night.
Varash tips his hat and backs out of the shop with a smile and a bow. Matuchek waits a moment, then locks the front door. He checks his pocket watch, then paces between the covered display cases and shelves filled with silver and leather goods. With a deep frown on his face, he sits on the draped sofa and puts his hands squarely on his legs. He rubs his knees nervously and sighs. He opens the door to a grave-faced man with glasses and a thin mustache who carries a briefcase.
Good evening, Mr. Walker.
Good evening.
Please.
Matuchek gestures toward the counter.
So, it's true.
I'm afraid so, Mr. Matuchek. Now, here we have a complete record from our operatives. Two of our most reliable men. Report on Mrs. Emma Matuchek. On December 6th, Mrs. Matuchek left her residence on Bayless Street 23 at 8:45 p.m. She walked two blocks up to Carter Street, where she engaged a taxi. At 9:30, the taxi stopped at the corner of Tanner and Balter Streets. There, Mrs. Matuchek was joined by a young man. Well, Mr. Matuchek, your suspicion was right. It was one of your employees. Both our operatives identified him later as Mr. Varash.
Varash?
Yes. Ferenc Varash. Danube Place 56. There is such a man in your employ, isn't there?
Yes.
He takes the case folder and begins reading. The man looks away. Matuchek closes the folder abruptly.
22 years we've been married. 22 years I was proud of my wife. Well, she just didn't want to grow old with me. If you will send me your bill, I'll take care of it immediately.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Matuchek. Good night.
Night.
The detective puts on his fedora and sees himself out. Matuchek stands at the counter, motionless, holding the folder. He turns and walks with slow, deliberate steps to his office. As he closes the door behind him, Pepe enters the shop.
Good evening.
He looks around the quiet showroom.
Hello? No, Mrs. Matuchek, this is Miss Kotzik speaking. Good evening. Who? Pepe? No, Pepe isn't back yet. I see, Mrs. Matuchek. He did some errands for you. Oh, you don't say. He forgot to pick up a bottle of perfume at Chabot's. Isn't that too bad? Yes, I'll give a good scolding to the little rascal. Have a good time, Mrs. Matuchek. Good night.
Pepe purses his lips with annoyance, then walks over to the employee lounge and opens the door. He turns with a confused look, walks over to Matuchek's office, and puts his ear to the door. Gently, he opens it.
Mr. Matuchek! Don't do that, Mr. Matuchek!
Go away!
Mr. Matuchek!
Glass shards fly from the ceiling light. Pepe runs out, leaves a gun on a counter, then walks cautiously back into Matuchek, who stands at his desk, taking deep breaths. Now, in front of a cafe.
Why don't you go in, Clary? I really think you should go in and keep your date.
Now, Pirovich, just do me a favor and deliver my note.
All right.
Now, Pirovich, I don't want to know what she looks like. If she's bad looking, I've had enough bad news for today. And if she's lovely, it'll just make it more difficult. So don't tell me.
No, I won't. Now, what's the name of that book?
Anna Karenina by Tolstoy.
Anna Karenina.
And a red carnation as a bookmark.
Red carnation. Let me see. Just a minute.
At the window, Pirovich stands on his toes and looks over the cafe's low curtain.
See anything?
Not yet, sir. Oh, there's a beautiful girl.
Really?
Very beautiful. But no book.
No book.
Wait a minute. I think I see it.
Yeah?
Right here under the window. Yes. Anna Karenina by Tolstoy.
That's right.
And a carnation.
Uh-huh.
I can't see her face. She's sitting behind a clothes rack. There's a cup of coffee on the table.
Yeah.
She's taking a piece of cake.
Huh?
Yeah. Kralik, she's dunking.
Well, why shouldn't she dunk?
All right. She's leaning forward now.
Uh-huh.
She...
Wait, can you see her?
Yes.
Is she pretty?
Very pretty.
She is, huh?
I should say, she looks... She has a little of the coloring of... Of Clara.
Clara? What, Miss Novak of the shop, yeah?
No, Kralik, you must admit Clara's a very good-looking girl, and personally, I always found her a very likable girl.
Yeah, well, this is a fine time to talk about Miss Novak now.
Well, if you don't like Miss Novak, I can tell you right now you won't like that girl.
Why?
Because it is Miss Novak.
Pirovich watches Kralik closely. Kralik gapes at his friend, then pushes by him and looks in the cafe window. Inside, a small orchestra plays in formal dress. Kralik turns back to Pirovich, smiles briefly, then looks down. Pirovich takes an envelope out of his pocket.
Oh, what? Give the note to the waiter now?
No.
Oh, what do you want to do? Let that poor girl wait?
Oh, why shouldn't Miss Novak wait for her? For the last 6 months, she fought with me every day.
But still, she wrote those letters, my friend.
My misfortune. Goodbye, Pirovich.
Goodbye, Kralik.
Thank you.
Kralik leaves. Inside, Clara sits alone at a small round table. A waiter approaches.
Excuse me, miss, please, could I have this chair?
Oh, no, you can't. I'm expecting somebody. The party should be here in a minute.
Oh, that's all right.
He sees her book and flower.
Carnation, hmm? A few nights ago, we had a case with roses. Turned out very nice, very nice. But once, about 3 months ago, we had a very sad case with gardenias. She waited all evening and nobody came. And when we cleaned the cafe underneath one of the tables, we found another gardenia. You can imagine, the man must have come in, taken one look at her, said, fui, and threw away his gardenia.
Isn't your clock a little fast? My own says 8:27 and yours says 8:31.
Oh, listen, you have nothing to worry about. A pretty girl like you. If he doesn't come, I'll put on a carnation myself.
Waiter!
Yes, sir.
Clara readjusts the ruffled collar on her dotted blouse, then pushes at the blonde curls below her felt hat. Behind her, on the other side of the window, Kralik appears. He walks slowly and steals a glance over the low curtain. Clara straightens suddenly and shoots an eager look at a man walking by her table. He continues on and her face drops. Kralik comes in, holding his hat. He glances apprehensively at other tables, then stops at Clara's.
Oh, hello, Miss Novak.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Kralik.
Well, it's quite a coincidence. I had an appointment here, too. You haven't seen Mr. Pirovich by any chance?
No, I haven't.
Well, I guess I'll wait. Do you mind if I sit down?
Yes, I do. You know, I have an appointment, too, Mr. Kralik.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yes. Well, your friend seems to be a little late.
And I'll thank you not to be sarcastic. I know you've had a bad day and you probably feel very bitter. Still, that's no reason...
Bitter, me? About leaving Matichek & Company? When I got home and sat down to the phone, in 5 minutes I had what amounts to 2 offers.
Well, I congratulate you. I wish you good luck.
Oh, I see you're reading Tolstoy's Anna Karenina.
Yes, do you mind?
No. I just didn't expect to meet you in a cafe with Tolstoy, that's all. Quite a surprise. I didn't know you went in for high literature.
There are many things you don't know about me, Mr. Kralik.
Uh-huh. Have you read Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky?
No, I haven't.
I have.
He leans close.
There are many things you don't know about me, Miss Novak. As a matter of fact,
there might be a lot we don't know about each other. You know, people seldom go to the trouble of scratching the surface of things to find the inner truth.
Well, I really wouldn't care to scratch your surface, Mr. Crowley, because I know exactly what I'd find. Instead of a heart, a handbag. Instead of a soul, a suitcase. And instead of an intellect, a cigarette lighter, which doesn't work.
Well, that's very nicely put. Yes, comparing my intellect with a cigarette lighter that doesn't work. Yeah, that's a very interesting mixture of poetry and meanness.
Meanness, let me
tell you. Well, now, don't misunderstand me, Miss Novak. I'm only trying to pay you a compliment.
Mr. Crowley, please, I told you I was expecting somebody.
He backs off.
Look, if your party doesn't show up, would I...
Don't worry about that. My party will show up, so you don't have to entertain me.
He walks away, pauses in the corner, then returns to a table just behind Clara's. Their chairs sit back to back. Clara folds her hands, readjusts the book Incarnation, and folds her hands again. Kralik speaks over his shoulder as if they're meeting secretly.
Have you read Zola's Madame Bovary?
Madame Bovary is not by Zola. Mr. Kralik, are you still here? Are you deliberately trying to spoil my evening? Why do you want to do me harm? Why do you hate me so?
I don't hate you.
Oh, I suppose you love me.
Well, why should I? What have you done to make me love you?
Well, I don't want you to love me.
Why don't?
They turn away from each other. Clara smiles at the orchestra. Kralik faces her.
You know what that tune reminds me of?
Yes, thank you. 2 dozen unsold cigarette boxes.
No, wrong again. Reminds me of a girl out of a job. Very nice girl, too, I thought.
You thought that. How you can lie.
Of course, that was before you started to make fun of me, giving imitations of me in the locker room. And I'd like to take this opportunity, Miss Novak, to inform you that I don't walk like a duck and I'm not bow-legged.
Aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Well, I have information to the contrary. Mr. Vardish assured me that you have your trousers specially made.
Well, that's a lie.
Mr. Vardish, so that's the kind of a man you trust.
He moves to her table.
Tailor in my life. If you think I'm bow-legged, come on out on the sidewalk and I'll pull up my trousers.
Jesus.
How would you like it if I started making remarks about how red your hands are?
That's just exactly what you did.
Oh, no, not until after you started making fun of my legs.
My hands aren't red at all.
Oh, now, after I called your attention to them.
Now, let me tell you something, Miss Novak. You may have very beautiful thoughts, but you certainly hide them. As far as your actions are concerned, you're cold and snippy like an old maid, and you're going to have a tough time getting a man to fall in love with you.
I, an old maid? So, no man could fall in love with me. Really, Mr. Kralik, you're getting funnier every minute. Why, I could show you letters that would open your eyes. No, I guess not. You probably wouldn't understand what's in them. They're written by a type of man so far superior to you that it isn't even funny. I have to laugh when I think of you calling me an old maid. You little insignificant clerk.
He snaps his head up and looks at her with a pained expression. His eyes search her face, then he looks down. Standing up slowly, he fiddles with the brim of his hat. She sits straight up in her chair, holding her purse.
Goodbye, Miss Novak.
Goodbye, Mr. Kralik.
He puts on his hat and leaves. Now, a door numbered 304 reads H. Matacek. Pepe follows a portly man out into the hall.
Well, Doctor, I would say it's a nervous breakdown. What do you think?
It appears to be an acute epileptoid manifestation and a panphobic melancholia, with some indication of a neurasthenia cordis.
Is that more expensive than a nervous breakdown?
Pardon me, Mr. Katona. Precisely what position do you hold with Mother Check and Company?
Well, I would describe myself as a contact man. I keep contact between Mother Check and Company and the customers on a bicycle.
Do you mean an errand boy?
Doctor, did I call you a pill peddler?
Pepe stands confidently in a three-piece suit and eyes the doctor, who leaves. Kralik walks out of an elevator.
Hello, Mr. Kralik.
Well, how is he?
I want to thank you for your splendid reaction to my telephone call. I knew you wouldn't fail us.
Was it serious?
Naturally, it was a terrible shock. Well, I have to get over it. Now, this whole thing must be kept in strictest confidence. What I told you over the telephone is between the three of us, me, Mr. Maracek, and you. Here.
He ushers Kralik into Maracek's room and closes the door. Kralik goes to the bed and shakes Maracek's hand.
Oh, thank you for coming, Kralik. Thank you. Sit down.
He sits beside him. Maracek fingers the bedsheet nervously.
You remember the last time you came to my house for dinner? I said that if things go well, I might take it easier. maybe by Christmas make you manager of the shop. Well, now I have to take it easier. Would you care to work for me again afterwards?
No, don't even think about it, sir.
Is it possible that I ever distrusted you? I hated you. I couldn't stand your presence anymore. That's how far jealousy can drive a man.
No, but that's all over now, sir.
Propped up in bed, Matacek wears silk pajamas.
When I first got that anonymous letter, I laughed. My wife having secret rendezvous with one of my employees. My wife, it's...
Oh, but how could you suspect me, sir?
Well, you see, you were the only one of my employees who had been to my home. And you sent my wife flowers.
Oh, but that was my...
Oh, you don't have to tell me. But when that poison gets into a man's mind, it's... Just try to understand.
I do understand, sir.
Yeah.
He puts his hand on Kralik's shoulder, then takes something from the nightstand.
Here are the keys to Matacek and Company.
Thank you, sir.
Matacek smiles kindly at Kralik, who looks down at the large brass keys, then stands.
What shall I do about Mr.
Vadash? Well, I want him dismissed as quietly as possible. No scandal. Don't even mention the subject to him. We won't lower ourselves, sir.
Very good, sir. And this is going to be the biggest Christmas in the history of Matacek and Company.
I know it will.
Yes, sir. Goodbye. Yeah.
They shake hands.
Oh, Kralik.
Yes, sir.
Well, now that you're the boss, if you want to give yourself a raise...
Well, sir, I'll talk it over with myself, and if I don't ask for too much money, I'll give it to myself. Thank you, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Kralik leaves, and Pepe enters.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Matacek.
Oh, Pepe, I don't know how to thank you. You saved my life.
Don't mention it. It was a pleasure. Now, if you want anything else, you know where to reach me. I'm still nothing but an errand boy at Matacek and Company.
Oh, in other words, you'd like to be a clerk, huh?
Wouldn't put it that brutally.
Well, when I get feeling better.
Well, then you might change your mind. Besides, who knows how long you'll have to stay here.
Oof.
You're a pretty sick man, Mr. Matacek. This isn't just an ordinary breakdown.
All right, you're a clerk. Go on now, get out of here.
Thanks, Mr. Matacek.
Now, Kralik leads Pirovich, Ilona, Flora, and Vadas into the shop. Vadas, with a jaunty smile, shoulders in next to Kralik.
My dear Kralik, I think I speak for all of us when I say heartiest congratulations. What a load off my mind. Now we're all one little happy family again.
Uh-huh,
and Kralik, I want you to be assured of my cooperation to the fullest extent. I want you to be a great success and... Oh, yes. That's right. From now on, you are going to the office, aren't
That's
you?
That's right.
Well, if anybody deserves it, it's you, my boy.
Vadas wears a pinky ring.
I had a little luck last night, too. Real diamond.
Uh-huh.
My grandma gave it to me. That's what you get when you're a good boy. Some boys get red apples. I get diamonds. Good one.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Kralik, I have some very unusual ideas for that new window display.
Thank you, Vadas. I think the rest of us can take care of the windows, all right? Right now, I'd like you to go into the stock room. And you know the big suitcases on the top shelf?
Yes, the black suitcases.
That's right. And then there are the big brown suitcases.
On the bottom shelf.
On the bottom shelf. Right. Now, I want you to take all the big black suitcases from the top shelf and move them to the bottom shelf, and all the big brown suitcases from the bottom shelf and move them to the top shelf.
But, Kralik, you...
You don't want to do it?
I didn't say anything like that. Of course I'll do it. I'm a good soldier.
Oh, I'll do it right away.
Vadas drops his ingratiating smile. Now, at a men's shop, the door is opened for Pepe, who sweeps outside in a suit, tie, and derby hat. He carries his gloves, overcoat, and cane next door to Matacek and Company. Ilona and Flora stare at him as he strides to the phone.
312683, please. Is this the Atlas Employment Agency? This is Mr. Katona of Matacek and Company speaking. We have an opening for a new errand boy. Now, see here. I want an educated, healthy boy, good family, and no bad habits. Oh, send me 4 or 5. I'll look them over. And right away, if you please. Tell them to ask for Mr. Katona of the sales department. All right. What's the matter? Didn't you ever see a clerk in your life before?
Who made you a clerk?
Yes. Who did this dreadful thing?
Listen, folks, I can't give you the whole story. Naturally, I'm tied up with my word of honor. But if it hadn't been for me, this place would be closed on account of suicide, and you'd all be out of a job.
Matichek and Company, good morning. Oh, yes, Mrs. Matichek.
Peppy grabs the phone.
Don't miss this, folks. Hello, Mrs. Matichek. Yes, this is Peppy speaking. That's right. Oh, I didn't bring you that bottle of perfume? Well, you're never going to get it. What do you think of that? Your perfume days are over, Mrs. M. Yes, this is Peppy speaking. Oh, you want to speak to Mr. Matichek? That's too bad. Just at the moment, he's up in a balloon with two blondes. Now, watch this. You wouldn't like to speak by any chance to Mr. Vadish?
That got her. Draw your own conclusions.
He leaves them with their mouths open. Now, Vadish enters the office.
You sent for me, Chief?
Vadish, I'm a little worried about you. You think you're going to be comfortable under a former fellow clerk, you know, working under a younger man?
Kralik, this is the age of youth, and I always ride with the times. You're a very smart young man, and my hat's off to you.
All right, now let's stop beating around the bush. You know, you and I never got along.
Oh, you really think so?
Now, come on, admit it. You don't like me.
I don't... Now, wait a minute, Kralik. Wait a minute. You are the boss. That's right. But I am not going to be a yes man. No, sir. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to contradict you. I do like you. Anything else bothering you?
Yes. I don't like you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm, yes, that's every man's privilege. I thank you for being so frank. Now, at least I know my problem, and it's entirely up to me to make you change your mind. And, you know, I don't think it'll be so very hard. No. Kralik, I heard the funniest joke last night. You want to hear it?
No. Hello. Yeah, this is Matichek and Company. Who's... Joanna. What? Oh, you're calling for Miss Novak. Well, what's the matter with her? Well, I hope it's nothing serious. Oh, fine. Well, I'm glad to hear that. All right, now tell her not to worry. Unless she's absolutely all right, tell her not to come today. And if, no, there's no hurry now. And tell her to be sure and take good care of herself. All right.
Really, Craddock, that's a wonderful attitude.
What's so wonderful about it?
Well, after all, I've been around, you know, and I have my eyes open. If anyone didn't agree with you around here, it certainly was nobody else but Miss Novak.
Well, just leave Miss Novak out of this.
All right. Please don't misunderstand me. I have nothing against Miss Novak. On the contrary, I think she's a very, very nice girl. Only sometimes, you know, she went a little bit too far, don't you?
All right, now, just we don't want to have another word about Miss Novak. She's a fine girl, and she's working very hard, and she's a good sales girl, and you shut up.
You misunderstand me. I didn't mean any offense. As a matter of fact, I was agreeing with you.
I don't want you to agree with me. You're fired.
Oh, so I'm
fired. You're fired. And get out of here, you two-faced, double-crossing two-timer. Now go on. Get out of here.
Folks.
Pointing at Kralik, Vadish charges into the shop.
Did you hear what he called me? I want you to remember it. On the witness stand, he called me a double-crossing two-timer. A double-crossing two-timer.
All right, now. I told you to get out of here. Now go on. Get out.
Don't you push. Don't you push. What right have you got to fire me anyway? Does Mr. Matichek know about this?
No. What do you think of that? Mr. Matichek doesn't know anything about this. I'm the manager and you don't work here anymore.
So, you are the manager. How do I know you are the manager? Anyone can say that. Prove it to me. Prove it to me in black and white.
Oh, you want it in black and white. All right, you're going to get it in black and blue.
He hurls Vadish into the cigarette box display. Vadish brushes off his clothes while the others pick up the boxes.
All right. Well, all right. Nice little case of assault and battery. You'll hear from my lawyer. What about my salary?
Get the man's salary.
Flora brings an envelope.
Here it is, Mr. Vadish.
Everything prepared. We don't want to waste any time.
Pardon me, sir. Your garments?
Peppy drops them at his feet.
By the way, I'm entitled to a letter of reference.
I forgot it. Flora, take a letter. To whom it may concern. Mr. Vadish has been in the employ of Matichek and Company for the last 2 years, during which time he has been very efficient as a stool pigeon, a troublemaker, and a rat.
Now, look
here. And if he doesn't clear out of here, he's going to get a punch in the nose. Yours very truly, Alfred Kralik, manager, Matichek and Company.
Vadish darts into the street. Now, in the workroom of a post office, clerks wearing visors sort the mail. One wall is lined with the backside of post office boxes. At box 237, the door on the customer side opens. A lady's gloved hand feels the bottom and side of the box, then withdraws. Clara's sad face looks into the box. Later, Clara rushes into the shop, wearing a short fur jacket with a skirt and a black hat. Swinging her small handbag, she trots past customers and Pirovich and heads straight to the office. At the sight of Kralik, she stops.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Novak. Well, suppose you're surprised to see me back, huh?
Oh, naturally, I'm glad you have your job back again. I congratulate you.
I hear you haven't been feeling well.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you. I wanted to see Mr. Matacek.
Well, here he is. I'm Mr. Matacek.
Mr. Krolik, don't make any jokes. Not today. Please, if you have to pick, call me to it some other time.
Well, I don't know what to say. I've been trying to tell you that Mr. Matacek isn't here, and I'm the manager.
Haven't you got any heart at all? Can't you see I'm not well? I can hardly see straight. This room, everything is just going round and round. In this state of mind, I ask you a simple question. And instead of having any consideration for me, you just try deliberately to frighten me.
She knits her brow and clutches her patent leather bag.
Hello. Mr. Felish? Oh, hello, Mr. Felish. Yes, well, thank you very much. Yes, it all happened this morning. Uh-huh. That's right, Mr. Felish. No, Mr. Matacek won't be with us for a while. Now, please, Mr. Felish, I don't own the shop yet. I'm only the manager. You
know. Clara faints.
Yes. Oh, goodbye, Miss Novak. Clara, Miss Novak.
He kneels beside her. Later, a matronly white-haired woman opens a door for Krolik. Clara sits propped up in bed.
Good evening, Miss Novak.
Good evening, Mr. Krolik.
I hope you'll forgive this intrusion, but being in charge of the shop, I feel more or less like a father to our little family. And how are you, young lady?
I'll be all right, Mr. Krolik. Please sit down.
Thank you.
He sits beside her. Clara holds her hand to her neckline.
You know, Christmas is coming soon, and we're certainly going to miss a good little worker like you in the shop. You'd better get well.
I'm sure I'll be all right in a day or two.
But that doesn't mean that you should neglect yourself. Now, I'm very serious about this, you know, because I feel more or less responsible for the whole thing.
You?
Yes,
Oh, no, Mr. Crowley. Oh, no, I think I can relieve your mind. It wasn't your fault at all. No, there's a much bigger reason, unfortunately.
Well, don't you think you ought to call a doctor?
Oh, no, I don't need to see a doctor. No, my trouble is what one might call psychological.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Well, it's my own personal problem, and I'll come out of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a shame you have to go through all this. But of course, as long as it's only psychological, you won't.
Only psychological? Mr. Krolik, it's true we're in the same room, but we're not in the same planet.
Krolik holds her gaze.
Miss Novak, although I'm the victim of your remark, I can't help admiring the exquisite way you have of expressing yourself.
He nods and looks off.
You certainly know how to put a man on his planet.
Aunt Anna has something for you.
She has? Well, why doesn't she come in? Come in, Aunt Anna!
She bustles in, holding an envelope and smiling.
Oh, well, this is Mr. Krolik of Matacek and Company.
I'm glad to meet you.
How do you do?
I hope it's good news.
I'll tell you later.
The two elderly ladies leave.
Oh, well, Mr. Krolik, it certainly was kind of you to drop in, but I don't want to spoil your whole evening.
Oh, I have nothing to do. No, go right ahead and read the letter. Don't worry about me.
Well, if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all.
He stands at the window, facing out, and steals glances back at Clara as she reads. Clara melts with happiness over one passage. Krolik grins impishly. She rereads sections, then leans back against her pillows, smiling broadly. Krolik steps lightly toward the bed, holding his hat.
Good news?
Very good news. Mr. Krolik, I can promise you I'll be back in the shop tomorrow and I'll be on my toes. I'll sell more goods than I ever sold before.
Well, quite a change in you. Well, it's amazing what one letter can do.
You know, if I weren't feeling so happy, I'd be very annoyed with you.
With me? Why?
Why? Because you really spoiled my date last night. You see, I wasn't so wrong when I asked you not to sit at my table. This gentleman did come to the cafe. He looked in the window, saw us together, and misunderstood.
Oh, you mean he thought you and I were friends?
Must have. Uh-huh. Listen.
He raises an eyebrow.
Tell me and be frank. I think you owe it to me. Who is this very attractive young man? He's just the type
women fall for.
Kralik shifts uncomfortably.
Sorry I caused you so much trouble.
Oh, it's all right. I'll straighten it out. It won't hurt him to be a little jealous.
His eyes dart.
Doesn't seem to be much of a man, this friend of yours. I mean, he walks away. He's afraid to come over to the table when another man's sitting there.
Oh, no, Mr. Kralik. He was not afraid. I can assure you he's tactful. He's sensitive. He's not the type of man who would walk up to a table uninvited. Well, it's difficult to explain a man like him to a man like you. Where you would say black, he would say white. Where you would say ugly, he says beautiful. And where you say old maid, he says... Eyes that sparkle with fire and mystery. Vivacious. Fascinating. I remind him of gypsy music. Speaking of gypsy music, we've had a lot of trouble selling those Ochochonia boxes, haven't we?
Oh, well, that doesn't make any difference.
Mr. Kralik, you can consider one box definitely sold. Yes, I've just had an inspiration. I'm going to give one to my friend for Christmas.
Oh, Miss Novak, now, you're taking an awful chance. Oh, yes, why don't you give him a wallet? Well, I'm sure he'd be crazy about it. Well, any man would be. You know, a wallet is a very practical thing. And besides, we have those new imported pigskins.
Oh, no, I'm not interested.
I make you a special prize.
No, I'm sorry.
You know, besides being a very practical thing, a wallet is quite romantic. You see, on one side, he has your last letter. On the other side, a picture of you. And when he opens it, there you are. And that's all the music he wants.
She looks at him with raised eyebrows.
Why, Mr. Kralik, you surprise me. That's very well expressed. Yes, I must admit it. That's very nice. Though, just the same, I'm going to give him a cigarette box.
He looks down and smiles, then stands.
Well, I guess there isn't much more I can say. Except that I wish you a Merry Christmas, both of you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kralik.
Good night, Miss Novak.
Good night, Mr. Kralik.
He takes her raised hand and shakes it, then leaves, smiling. Now, a young boy stands by the Matichek delivery cart unloading boxes. Pepe comes out of the shop.
Rudy!
Yes, Mr. Katona?
You know what time it is?
A few minutes after 8.
And you're still here?
Well, I was just...
Don't contradict me. Just listen.
Yes, Mr. Katona.
You have to be faster, especially on a day like this. It's Christmas Eve, young man. Am I asking too much?
No, Mr. Katona.
All right.
Pepe spins on his heel and goes in as Kralik strides out of his office.
Folks, I have great news for you. I just talked to the hospital and Mr. Matichek is much better.
Oh, Mr.
Wonderful. Where can you visit him?
Well, let's all get together and buy him a nice Christmas present. I have a suggestion. Let's get him a cute little Christmas tree for his hospital room.
Well, that's all very nice, but I think the biggest Christmas present we could give him tonight is an empty, bare-looking shop with nothing in it except money in the cash register. Now, come on, folks. Now, let's make this the biggest Christmas Eve in the history of Matichek and Company.
He looks around.
Clara, Miss Novak!
Coming, yes, Mr. Kralik.
How are you today?
Fine.
Good. Now, we're expecting a terrific business today, and it's going to be very tough. But don't overdo it.
He dashes off. Clara stands in place, blinking, then takes some open boxes behind a long display case and repacks a handbag. Pirovich joins her.
Now, Miss Novak, I wonder if I could ask a little favor of you.
With pleasure, Mr. Pirovich.
I wanted to buy one of those Ochochonia boxes, but Kralik tells me that you took the only one that really works.
That's right. Hmm. I bought it for my boyfriend.
Oh.
He's coming tonight. We're going to celebrate Christmas Eve.
He takes out his wallet.
Mr. Pirovich, can you keep a secret?
On my word of honor.
Well, when I come back Monday, I might have a ring on my finger. Maybe, you never know.
Well, that's wonderful. And that's a young man who gets a cigarette box?
Uh-huh.
Oh, then let's stop the whole thing. You see, I thought of giving it to my wife's uncle for Christmas.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Can't you give him something else?
Ah, that's not so easy. You see, I don't like him. I hate to spend a nickel on him. And still, I must give him a present. So I thought, if I have to give him a present, at least give him something he won't enjoy. The box costs $2.29. That's a lot of money. But it's worth it to ruin my wife's uncle's Christmas.
Clara's smile fades.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Novak. I forgot you always liked those.
Oh, no, no, Mr. Pirovitz, speak freely. Tell me, if you were in my position, what would you give him?
It's hard to say.
What would you say to the idea of, well, let's say maybe a wallet?
That's an inspiration. You mean one of those imported pigskins?
That's what I was thinking of.
You can't, miss. If I would get such a wallet, I would be one of the happiest men in the world. On one side... Oh, here, I'll show you. See, on one side, I put the picture of my wife, and on the other side, my little baby. And when I open it, it says, Papa, and not Ochichonia.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fairbitt. I'll think it over.
With a pleased smile, he trots to the office.
Kralik, you get the wallet.
Later, snow falls softly in the congested, lamp-lit street outside Matacek and Company. A Packard automobile rolls slowly through a crowd of men with upturned collars and women with mufflers and caps. Inside the shop, Kralik sweeps along the back of a counter to wait on customers who stand shoulder to shoulder in their winter coats. More enter the shop. Out on the sidewalk, Matacek shoulders his way through the snow-dusted crowd. Clutching his fur collar, he peeks in the window. He cranes his neck to see the cash register. He smiles and a policeman walks up.
Well, Mr. Matacek, what are you doing here? Since when are you back?
Oh, I'm not here. I'm supposed to be a pretty sick man, that's what my doctor tells me. But after all, it's Christmas Eve. I couldn't stay away any longer. Can you imagine me over 2 weeks in the hospital without seeing a single customer? And the only piece of leather goods in the place was my nurse's handbag. And where do you think she got it? At Blaschek and Company. And they expect me to get well. Have you been by Blaschek and Company?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what kind of business are they doing?
Oh, they're pretty busy, but no comparison with this.
Ah, good. This is all right, eh?
Now, Mr. Matacek, take it easy. Don't overdo.
Oh, no, I'm not. Don't be. I'm not a fool. I just came around to find out if the shop was still here. And then I go.
Well, Merry Christmas, Mr. Matacek.
Same to you.
Do you think Eric would like that briefcase? Well, I don't know.
Matacek stops by the shoppers.
Oh. Pardon me, ladies. I can't see very well without my glasses. Could you tell me the price on that briefcase?
$24.50.
My, what values you get here, eh? I wonder how Matacek and Company can do it.
Well, if you don't know Mr. Matacek, who should?
Now, numbers flash in the window of the ornate cash register. Later in the shop, after hours.
Well, how much is it?
Kralik and Flora check the tally.
$9,654.75.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's the biggest day since 28. You should be very proud, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. 2 hours ago, when I walked in here, I was a sick man. But you, Kralik, and you, Pirovitz, you're the best doctors. Yeah, and you, Clara, and Ilona, and Flora, you're wonderful nurses.
Thank you.
Oh, well, and Pepe, you know what I think about you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, this morning when I received the little Christmas tree that you all sent me, I was deeply moved. I read your little note over and over, and it made me very happy that you missed me and hoped that I'd be coming back home soon again. You're right. This is my home. This is where I spent most of my life. And, well, now, no Christmas is complete without a bonus, am I right?
He hands out envelopes and shakes hands.
Mr. Kralik.
Thank you, sir.
Clara.
Oh, Mr. Marge, thank you.
Pepe?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Flora? Ilona?
Well, thank you, Mr. Matacek.
And Pirovitz, you know that I've
called you names on several occasions. Well, when you see the bonus, you'll realize that I didn't mean it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Matic.
Well, I guess that's about all. Oh, here, what's your name?
Rudy.
Ah, well, Rudy.
Good boy.
Pepe pats the delivery boy's shoulder. Yeah.
There.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Matichek.
The gangly boy grins. Pepe studies the bonus.
Too much.
Well, we'll leave the shop just as it is till after the holiday. I want you all to go home now and have a very merry Christmas.
Thank you, Matichek.
Kralik remains at the register.
Well, Kralik, 9,654.75. That's wonderful, wonderful. Oh, thank you, Flora.
Flora brings his overcoat, and Kralik helps him on with it. Matichek faces Kralik, but looks down awkwardly.
So, well, I think I have a little dinner now and celebrate Christmas. You ever been to Biro's?
Oh, no, sir. I'm afraid that's way over my head.
Well, but Christmas only comes once a year. How about joining me and we'll break a bottle of champagne together?
Well, Mr. Matichek, I'd love nothing more, but I...
Oh, you have another engagement, huh?
Well, it's just...
No, not another word. I just wanted to be sure that you weren't alone. Well, have a wonderful time, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, sir.
They shake. Matichek watches Kralik go, then looks eagerly at the employee lounge as Pirovich comes out. They leave together, then stand in the light snow at the shop door. Matichek puts on his gloves.
Well, Pirovich, I presume you're going to have a nice little party at your house tonight?
Yes, I should say.
You probably have some guests?
No, Mr. Matichek. Just my wife, my boy, my little baby, and myself. That's all we want, and we are very happy.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Matichek.
Yeah.
Pirovich doffs his hat as they shake hands, then leaves. Matichek glances down the street. Flora comes out of the shop.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Matichek.
Oh, thank you, Flora. And please give my regards to your mother.
Thank you, Mr. Matichek.
She leaves carrying some presents. Now, Pepe.
Still hanging around the shop, eh, Mr. Matichek?
Yeah.
Can't get away from here, huh?
Well, you better hurry home, son. You're probably celebrating Christmas with your mother and father. Am I wrong?
Yes, Mr. Matichek. See that girl over there in the corner?
Yeah.
Well, I'm her Santa Claus. Good night, Mr. Matichek.
Good night.
Rudy, in his wool cap, comes out timidly.
Mr. Matichek, I don't know how to thank you for that marvelous present. After all, I'm only working here a short time.
Oh, that's all right. What was your name?
Rudy.
Rudy. How old are you, Rudy?
17.
17? That's a wonderful age. You've got your whole life ahead of you. But it's up to you what you make of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, now, you better not squander that money. You take it home and give it to your mother, huh?
My people don't live here in town, Mr. Matichek.
Is that so? Have you no other relations here?
No, Mr. Matichek.
You mean you're all alone in Budapest on Christmas Eve?
That's right.
Matichek frowns,
Rudy,
then leans in.
Do you like chicken noodle soup?
I certainly do, Mr. Matichek.
Yeah, and what would you think of roast goose stuffed with baked apples and fresh boiled potatoes and butter and some red cabbage on the side, huh?
I'd love it.
Yeah, and then some cucumber salad with sour cream.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Matichek.
And then a double order of apple strudel with vanilla sauce.
Sounds wonderful.
Yes, well, you're going to have it, Rudy. Come on, here, taxi!
Inside, Clara shows Ilona a wallet.
Oh, it's lovely. I'm sure you like it. I think so, too. Well, Merry Christmas, Clara. And I hope everything turns out just the way you want it to.
Thank you, Ilona. Merry Christmas to you, too. Good night.
Good night.
Ilona leaves Clara alone in the employee lounge. At a table near the wash basin, she carefully wraps the wallet. Kralik looks in.
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I'll be out in just a second.
Oh, that's all right. No hurry.
He sees the gift.
Oh.
Oh, yes. I decided to follow your advice after all.
Want to see something?
Uh-huh.
He unwraps a velveteen box, then lifts the lid. Clara stops and stares. She holds the box gingerly, looking down on a gold pendant. Two concentric circles with leaf work trailing out from the center and three gleaming gems.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Look, why don't you try it on? Yeah, come on, I'd sort of like to see what it looks like on a girl.
She takes it to a mirror. Holding it at her neck, she smiles up at him, then studies the pendant.
Those real diamonds?
They're pretty near.
Oh, my.
She smiles and returns the necklace.
I didn't know you had a girlfriend.
Oh, yes. Probably isn't easy for you to imagine anyone like a man of my type.
But... Now, Mr. Crawley, don't let's start all over again. It's Christmas and I'd like to be friends with you. Besides, you're wrong. Do you mind if I tell you something?
No, not at all.
Well, when I first came to work here, something very strange happened to me. I got psychologically mixed up.
You don't say?
Yes. I found myself looking at you again and again. I just couldn't take my eyes off you.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Right. And all the time I kept saying to myself, Clara Novak, what on earth is the matter with you? This Crawley is not a particularly attractive type of man. I hope you don't mind.
No.
Now, here comes the paradox. I found myself falling for you.
I can't believe it.
Yes, Mr. Crawley, and very much so.
You certainly didn't show it.
Listen, in those first few weeks... I know you won't misconstrue what I'm going to say to you. After all, I'm very happily engaged. At least it looks that way.
Yes, well, go on.
Oh, in those first few weeks, there were moments in the stockroom when you could have swept me off my feet.
Kralik swallows hard and looks away.
Now I'm getting psychologically mixed up.
Well, you see, I was a different girl then. I was really rather naive. All my knowledge came from books, and I just finished a novel about a glamorous French actress from the Comédie Française. That's a theater in France. And when she wanted to rouse a man's interest, she treated him like a dog.
Yes, well, you treated me like a dog.
Yes, but instead of licking my hand, you barked. You see, my mistake was, I didn't realize that the difference between this glamorous lady and me was that she was with the Comédie Française and I was with Matacek and company.
Oh, well, that's all forgotten now.
So now you go to see your girlfriend. By the way, is it serious?
Yes, very.
Maybe. Maybe we'll both be engaged Monday morning.
I think we will.
Well, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I just said in my case it might happen.
Well, as a matter of fact, I can tell you it will happen.
Clara turns and stares up at him.
How do you know?
Well, we won't go into that.
He walks out. She takes her purse and her gift box wrapped in tissue and follows him into the shop.
Mr. Crawley, what do you mean you know?
Well, I guess I might as well tell you. He came to see me.
Who?
Your fiancé. Yes, yes, he came last night. You shouldn't have told him who I am. I spent a very uncomfortable hour. Apparently, he didn't believe it when you wrote him that I meant nothing to you.
I can't get it in my head. Coming to see you? Oh, no, that doesn't sound like him at all.
Well, now, listen, I've straightened everything out. You don't have to worry. No, you. In a little while, you'll be Mrs. Popkin.
Mrs. Popkin?
That's the name, isn't it? Popkin? That's the name he gave me.
Oh, yes. That's right. Popkin.
And a very nice fellow. A very nice fellow. I congratulate you.
Thank you.
He turns off some shop lights.
I think he's a very attractive man, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, for his type, I'd say yes.
You would, really classify him as a definite type?
Oh, absolutely. And don't you try and change him now. No, don't put him on a diet.
Would you call him fat?
Well, I wouldn't, but of course that's just a matter of opinion. Now, personally, I think that little stomach of his gives him a nice homey quality. And that's what you want in a husband, isn't it?
Oh, yes, that's what I want.
Yeah, and you're perfectly right. Now, if I were a girl and had to choose between a young good-for-nothing with plenty of hair and a good, solid, mature citizen, I'd pick Matthias Popkin every time.
She frowns, then looks up and smiles.
Well, anyway, he has a fine mind. Didn't he impress you as being rather witty?
Well, he struck me as rather depressed. Well, of course, it's unfair to judge a man when he's out of a job.
Out of a job? He never told me.
Why, it shows you how sensitive he is. Of course, you'd have nothing to worry about. No, he feels that both of you can live very nicely on your salary.
He puts away some gift ribbon.
Did you tell him how much I make?
Well, he's your fiancé, and he asked me. When I told him what salary you made, he a little worried. But then I promised him that you were going to get a raise, and he felt much better about it. And let me tell you, mentioning that bonus didn't do you any harm at all.
Oh, this is terrible. Why, I'm outraged. I had no idea he was materialistic like this. Why, if you could read his letters, such ideals, such a lofty point of view. I could quote you passages.
For instance?
Well, to love is to be two and yet one. A man and a
woman blended as angels. Heaven itself. That's Victor Hugo. He stole that.
She sinks down onto a bench sofa. Oh. He stands by her in the dimly lit shop, his hands folded.
And I thought I was the inspiration for all those beautiful thoughts. Now I find he was just copying words out of a book. He probably didn't mean a single one of them.
She lowers her head.
Well,
He slowly sits next to her.
I'm sorry you feel this way about it. I hate to think I'm spoiling your Christmas.
I built up such an illusion about him. I thought he was so perfect.
I had to come along and destroy it.
Oh, that's all right. I guess I really ought to thank you.
She chokes back tears.
Clara, if I'd only known in the beginning how you really felt about me, things would have been different. We wouldn't have been fighting all the time. If we did quarrel, it wouldn't have been over suitcases or handbags, but over something like whether your aunt or grandmother should live with us or not.
He peeks at her. She smiles faintly.
It's sweet of you to try to cheer me up. I guess we better say goodnight.
They stand close.
You have an engagement. Yes, and so have I. We shouldn't be late.
Do you know what I wish would happen? When your bell rings at 8:30 and you open the door, instead of Popkin, I come in.
No, please don't make it more difficult for me.
And I'd say, Clara, darling.
Oh, no, you mustn't.
Oh, dearest sweetheart, Clara, I can't stand it any longer. Please, take your key and open post office box 237 and take me out of my envelope and kiss me.
Mr. Crowley, you must...
Her eyes widen. As she raises her head and looks into his eyes, he holds her gently by the arms. He takes a red carnation from his pocket, puts it on his lapel, and nods gently.
Dear friend.
You? Dear friend?
They stare at one another. Kralik swallows.
Are you disappointed?
She brings a shaking hand to her brow, then lowers it to her throat. Blinking, she shakes her head.
Psychologically, I'm very confused. But personally, I don't feel bad at all.
Oh, Clara.
He takes her elbow.
Tell me, when you came to the cafe that night, oh, I was pretty rude, wasn't I?
Oh, no.
Yes, I was. Don't you remember? I called you bull-legged.
Oh, well, I was going to prove to you that I wasn't. I was going out in the street and pull up my trousers.
Yes. Well, would you mind very much if I asked you to pull them up now?
He smiles and looks down. His wingtip shoes and pinstriped legs are inches from Clara's black pumps and knee-length skirt. He raises his pant legs to the knees, revealing black socks with striped garter belts and perfectly straight legs. They smile, then throw their arms around one another and kiss. Fade to black. Words appear. The end. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The cast list appears. Margaret Sullivan as Clara Novak. James Stewart as Alfred Kralik. Frank Morgan as Hugo Maticek. Joseph Schildkraut as Ferenc Vadesh, Sarah Hayden as Flora, Felix Bressart as Pirovich, William Tracy as Pepe Katona, Inez Courtney as Ilona, Charles Smith as Rudy.